Welcome to the podcast. This is the Witch Bitch Amateur Hour.
It's it. It's us. You sound better, which is nice. That's good.
I'm feeling better. Man, I was thinking about the other day when we did our late recording, not SipCap, but like last week's episode that came out like on Thursday or whatever. I was thinking how much I really screwed the pooch on that one. I really came out of the gate like, I think I'm over the hump, but absolutely was not. So I will say this with a little bit of fear in my voice because of what happened last time. I dared. Today is my first day semi up and at 'em again.
Your eyeballs look normal for the first time. Since
extrapolate.
Well, like they don't look glazed and miserable. Like you look like yourself out of your eyeballs today, which I've not seen the past couple times we've recorded.
Yeah. I'm at the point where the medication is helping me live a normal-ish life. You know, it's still like the walking around doing stuff, you still have to go, oh my God, I'm winded. But it's thank you for your concern. I think I almost died, dude.
I was worried. Like, because especially the day that you just sent me delirious messages and the only, like, there was like an 18-hour period I only got like fever, weird sleep messages from you from. And I was like, she might die. I'm actually kind of concerned.
That was the worst. That was the worst day. Truthfully, that was the day that, like, when I was lucid, I was like, if this gets any worse, I am going to the hospital.
That's the line. But you're here and you look normal. I'm glad
for thank
it.
You.
Glad to see you.
Thank you.
Normal.
Well, normal except for these fucking sweet,
definitely new eyebrows you're sporting. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I just don't think I'm like a cut eyebrow person. Anyway.
I'm not either. Yeah. I don't even pluck mine, dude. I hate it. I have the most sensitive brows, dude. Yeah. I can't take it. I just can't. I'm not sensitive.
I don't like it.
With hair anywhere
plucking
else.
In particular.
I'm not doing
fuck
it.
That.
It makes me rageful.
I'll give it a good in between. Oh, look at that. That's nice. I'll give it a good in between. In between the brow, get the mono brow, the unibrow, whatever we're calling it these days. I'll rip that to shreds. But I can't see that's one of the way that's like that area between the eyebrows. I like that feeling when I rip it off. I'm like, ooh.
See,
yeah.
I get that because I have to pluck my beauty mark, my mole, you know?
Yeah.
And I've had to do that since I was like fucking 11 because it's a mole. Mm. And moles just wild now, man. When they could sprout a hair, they're going to sprout the like hoariest, like thickest, blackest hair that they can. It's kind of the same way. It's like, it's kind of a satisfying one to pull out. Yeah. 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 So I get you on that.
Well, now that everyone who is sensitive to this kind of talk has clicked away and decided they'll never listen to us again, and they go, isn't this a podcast about witchcraft? Let's talk about what we're talking about today.
I'm bringing a food. I'm back with a vegetable. I'm coming back to all of us with a vegetable again, and I'm talking about celery.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Celery. Listen, there's a lot here, and I'm sad. There's so many historical avenues that I had to stop myself to go down with celery. And so with that, it's like, this is one of those where I went a little nuts and I feel like I have like a shitload of history. And then it's like, and there's some magic stuff too, but it's just wild. Celery is just cool, man. I love the history of vegetables. It's always a treat.
Now, do you like celery?
I like celery. I like celery a good deal.
Do you like celery in things or will you just like munch down on a piece of celery?
I'll raw dog some celery.
I won't.
Oh, I will. I like it. Dude grew up eating peanut butter and celery. Peanut butter and celery was.
Now, see, ants on a log is a different thing.
Ants on a log fucking rips.
Ants on a log.
Big fan. Yeah. But no, I will just chow down with it. It is, however, I had looked this up today and I forgot to write the name down. Celery my entire life, always after a little while, it makes my tongue go numb. It always kind of has like a numbing effect in my mouth. And apparently, oh God, what's it called? It's called like cross pollination. So there's like a type of thing to where our brain crosses the wires of things we eat thinking they're pollen. And it's like a pseudo like reaction, but it's not a real
reaction. Your brain
reaction.
Goes, this is pollen.
Yeah. And so it's like, that could be a reason because it seems somewhat ish common. I mean, it's been happening my whole life. So I don't think it's
obvious. You're allergic.
It doesn't seem to be. And it actually, it only.
This is how you learn you're mildly.
It's only if I eat it raw. Only if I'm eating it raw and by itself. It's if it's diluted by anything, I don't notice it. It's only if I'm eating raw celery with nothing it's been dipped in. There's no peanut butter on it. I'll just notice it a little bit. But that apparently it's a common one for that pollen cross brain thing that I can't remember the name of.
So definitely not the same thing and definitely not as healthy. But I do the same things with McDonald's fries. I get about halfway through a thing of McDonald's fries and my mouth feels funny.
I don't know what that means. What are you talking about?
Oh, well, okay. So I am still recovering from the mend. I'm still recovering from the suds. I am on the mend. So I have a conversational topic, but listen, it's one that I'm very excited about, and I think it's going to be a fun time. And I also want to hear from all the beans over on, over in the coven, which is, you know, when we say the coven, what we're talking about is the Facebook page, which should be a Discord soon. Really, one of these days, it really should be, because Facebook just blows, man.
Facebook does blow. It blows so hard.
It blows very hard.
But Discord's UI...
You don't like it.
I hate it. Oh, I hate it so much.
We should just make our own. Make our own and make it better.
Build our own. Build our own world and live in it. I get it. But I mean, Discord is cool.
Funny that you say that.
I like what goes on over there, but I hate being there because I hate how it's laid out.
Did you say build our own world?
Yes.
Because that's what my conversation topic is today. I want to talk about building. I want us today to have just a fun little daydream together. And I want to build, we're always joking about it, but I want to build our perfect, not only witchy houses, but our perfect little witchy commune. And I want to build that in our brain minds today. Okay. And then everyone can pop off over on Facebook about, what did we miss? What would you have that's important?
And what would your job be? If you were to come to our place, what would you do?
Yeah. Because we've always joked, you know, when you guys are like, one day we're going to buy a big thing of land and we're going to have this big commune / cult. We're like, you have to bring some kind of something to the table. Do you bake? Do you teach? Do you sing? Can you entertain? You know,
listen, this is going to be a bard friendly society right out of the gate.
Everyone in the society will probably be a bard and our clothes will be falling apart. Yeah. And we won't be able to grow anything.
That's
and
not
our
true.
Animals will be starving.
No.
But we'll all be bards.
No, we're going to have our shit together. We're going to have our shit together. It's just that if you want to be a bard and you want to fucking sing with your lute the whole time,
you're not turning bards away.
You know, whatever you're doing, bards are welcome always. World needs more bards any day.
World need more bard. But what we really need is a mechanic. So please, if you have,
we will need that. Because like, seriously, it's like gardening, things like that. I feel pretty good about, but we need mechanical minds because that's where you lose me. That's where
STEM.
I struggle.
We need people in STEM. Please, God,
engineers,
we're thirsty for STEM.
Engineers, y'all are big time welcome because we're going to need to build structures that are better than just gum and tape. Holding them together.
Medicinal people. We need healthcare.
Healers. Absolutely. Yeah. Listen, we need our body workers. We need our massage therapists. We need our physical therapists. We need everything in the body work field. We need everybody.
We need construction.
Yeah.
Because I am not building a house.
Yeah. I'm not going to do it. I'll day labor. You'll need to show me what to do because I don't know what to do, but I'll day labor.
Well, see, that's the good thing about the commune is we can kind of do like in our space, you know, this is in my mind, this is happening in a semi post-apocalyptic scenario. You know what I mean? So we're kind of have to rely on stuff like this. But in my mind, there's no longer things like, okay, for me, I had to get licensed to be a massage therapist. Yes. Okay. So there's no longer things like that. However, I could lead a class with anyone that's interested and I could pass down that knowledge.
I think
so. We can do that.
Everyone, you know, immediately, if you have a skill that is notable, you take an apprentice. Because we need to expand the knowledge base because we need multiple points of information. So I feel like if you are well-versed and you are a certified person, immediately find people that are interested, take one or two apprentices. Boom, you start spreading the network of knowledge in the city or whatever it is, the place.
Yeah. And that way, you know, and hopefully, because this is a long-term thing, when you go on, when you pass away or when you exit the scene, because, you know, I feel like we're going to take care of our elders here. We're not going to force, people who are in their twilight to continue building our houses, you know, when there's like two 20-year-old kids there who could, you know, take over. Are we just going to start into this? Because
I think we go into it.
Let's just rock and roll.
Okay, I think we rock and roll into it, and then I'll bring us back down to earth with reality.
Okay. With some cell. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's see. We're about 13 minutes in, so we'll aim for like 45. Sure, I'm just trying to not go off.
Yeah, so we don't do this the entire episode because we could.
Yeah, right.
We could.
So, Macy, let me ask you. Okay. We'll start here. You have a huge plot of land, and let's just say this is fantasy world, so we don't worry about the goddamn particulates. But let's say you have 600 acres of land.
Okay.
Okay. That's a ton of land, right?
Give or take. Where is it? It's a good amount.
No. Okay. You know what? Fuck you. 2,000 acres of land.
2,000 acres of land is serious fucking business.
Okay.
We can do a lot with two. Even 600 is a lot, but like 2,000 is, you're turning in, you could really have a whole serious, like, you're like a realm. I mean, you're not, but like, it would feel like it, you know?
Here we go. 2,000 acres of land. 3,000 acres of land. Whatever. 2,000 acres of land handed to you for whatever reason. Tell me, where is it located? And what are your first moves? You're looking around at all this raw land and you know you have to build this empire, this commune, this witchy safe space for everyone to get together and do whatever you want. I don't know. You're the king of this land. What do you do?
I'm the king of this land.
Stay out of the Wallsworth.
How rich I could not tell.
Not say. sorry.
Here's the thing. So since I can be choosy here, I want to, I'm picking a mild climate because here's the thing too. We're going to need to feed everyone. A long growing season is important. So I want to put this somewhere that has very fertile soils and a long growing season. So I wouldn't mind putting this somewhere that is maybe kind of rolling on, getting into like kind of like the eastern, kind of northeastern type part of the, not all the way up north, but maybe into the Carolinas, you know, kind of places like that. You get a lot of, we're going to need a lot of timber. We're going to need a lot of raw resources. And I feel like you got a lot of resources out there to build up structure and to get going on out there. And I would consider even kind of the central corridor of the country as well, but not just big open prairie land. Because again, we need woods. But
water features.
Gotta have water.
What do you want?
And that's another reason I kind of like getting out into like the Carolina area or even like Dakotas.
I want a river.
Yeah, you gotta have
a big lake.
Gotta have running water. Gotta have standing water, or like not standing water, but you gotta have a source of water. And so I feel like we get all that going there, and then you do need you need good drainage. It's very important to be in a property that's not a fucking swamp either, especially if you're trying to,
or just clay ground like some places in Texas.
Yeah. So good fertile soil, and I feel like that you can run into that out there, and so that
running
you
can get water, lots of trees. Okay,
lots of trees, and
and. Even though that area you're talking about does get a little cooler, we're not talking like Arctic temperatures or, you know, desert temperatures. It's kind of, for lack of a better term, it is mild.
Yeah.
Comparatively.
I mean, harsh springs, you know, in winter, sure, but people have been able to grow and put away, you know, food there for generations. And so I feel like that could be a good spot for it. And also a lot of power there. I mean, there's that land, those mountains.
There are I was thinking like windmills.
No, like, no. Well, so we got to run power out to our compound. Yeah. No, I just feel like that would be a charged
place. We're
going to
go ahead
place.
And pretend that there's just electricity, I guess.
I've been assuming there isn't.
Oh, okay, fine. This is your world. Assume there isn't.
There is none. And we're doing this. Okay. I kind of took your idea of saying this is kind of after a bit of a collapse, but this
is shut down.
This is the version of a collapse that is like the silver lining. This is what could happen if people pooled their knowledge together and we were able to secure magically a giant swatch of land.
Yeah.
And
pick you up like a Sim and just drop you into the middle of it. Yeah.
Yes.
You don't pick up Sims, but you know.
Yes. And one thing I would.
What's your first move?
Truly, I would want to speak to, honor, invite, however I can, the native people. Like native peoples who have lived here, continue to live there, lived there for a long time.
Yeah, who's going to know the land better?
They're going to know it better than anybody and go ahead and establish that connection of communication and understanding there, because I'm not going to go in there and be like, I know everything about this place, because I fucking don't. And I feel like that's just the right way to go about it.
Well, but you've seen enough Bear Grylls to know that you jump into a freezing cold body of water.
Immediately, I drop down and run headfirst into a freezing river. I got to get my senses right.
Yeah. You eat all the dead things off the ground. Build your immunity.
Yeah, of course. Drink all the unfiltered water. And following that and gaining understanding of this land itself, not to mention, I'm not an Appalachian, but I know a lot of you Appalachian listeners, and there's rules out there that I'm not privy to. So it's like,
that's the reason
I want to learn the ways, the ways of the wood and the ways of the mountains first, because I feel like going in there, bumbling around is a surefire way to get your shit rocked out of the gig.
Yeah.
Not doing that for sure.
And also it's just a good way to preserve the cultural importance, you know, instead of just being like, we're starting over from scratch, we're making our own rules. It's like, the land is always going to be old. Like it exists, you know, you can't just come in and be like, new. Save, you know?
Yeah, no, I have no interest in it. And then after that, I think, so here's where I would like to fast forward a little bit, because I don't want to think about the logistics of acquiring everyone. I just would like it to beam into everybody's head somehow. If you pass this vibe check that is also included in this big skip that I'm doing here, you can come
here. You gotta pass the vibe check.
But it is ideal to, I would want mine to be, not to say that it is a society to work yourself to death. You do need to bring something. You need to bring, because this is an electricity-less place. This is a place that is moved entirely by people. And I want it to be a nice place and everybody's skills can be shared and respected. But a contribution of some sort, I think, is important for an off-grid society to keep functioning.
Who you take it on first? Who, if you could build your first, like, person who shows up outside of, you know, I guess, you know, whoever you'd already have, their family or friends or whatever, right? The first person shrugs up with their little bindle over their shoulder, you know, and they're like, well, howdy there, I'd like to move into this land, which we'll name at some point. And you sit them down and you say, what are your skills? Build your perfect first person.
I want this first person to come out of the woods. And out of the woods, attached to them, they've got like a speed square and a tape measure and a hammer and like their carpenter jeans loop, you know, the fancy hammer holder.
Bob the Builder.
I want
walking out of
Bob the Builder to come out of here because the best I can do is some tied together grasses and branches and like making a lean-to. I know this about myself. We're going to need structure or people are going to die of exposure. That's just the way.
That's true.
So, like, I need that mind to come in, that engineering mind. I need that from the top because I'm an ideas guy. That's what I am. Yeah. You know, I need.
You are a bard.
Yeah. I need that execute. I can garden. I can help set the gardens up with the growers. Like, that's, you know, and I would be working on that. And I would also hope that they are coming soon. But you got to house
an apprentice,
people.
Yes. For sure.
You got to house people. And so I need that help. Oh, immediately I need that help.
Yeah.
So bad.
Now, let me ask you this. You get your builder or a few builders in the town, right? And we'll leave all the goddamn details to the builder. I don't need to know about it.
I don't care.
I'm going to show you how you make your nails. Mm-hmm. Just make them. How do you want the living situation to be for your people? Are you making one big fat fucking longhouse where we can all wake up and have morning like ritual together?
No.
Or is everybody getting little places to stay? What do you think?
I am inserting myself into this story and everybody's getting their own space. Because the thought of just living together in one big communal house makes me feel like my brains are going to run out of my ears. I can't. Yeah. I can't. But
I think there should be a communal space.
Yes. You got to have the gathering place.
To get together.
Got to have the gathering place. But I think everybody need in a minimalist place. It doesn't have to be much. I think you've got your essentials in it.
Yeah.
But like
cabins or cottages.
Little cottages. Yeah. You know, just very, very general construction, probably all very similar. And because a lot of this place is going to be, I'm picking a mild climate. There's no electricity in this, in this world. You're going to be outside a lot.
We need candle makers.
Outside a lot. Oh, God, dude. Got to have candle makers.
We need candle makers.
That's the light. We're going to have our light source. So, like, beekeepers.
Which means we need.
We need fucking like bees.
An apiary, yeah.
Like, we got to have. Once you start realizing what all that you need, like, if you want to, it's amazing. So, you need. That is why I love skills. It is. You don't even realize sometimes how what you know can be so valuable in a situation.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Because you could be like, well, I know how to render down fat and make tallow and make soap and hand cream out of it. It's like, yeah, I want you on my team.
We fucking need that.
You know how to render shit?
Like, come on,
yeah,
man.
Come on, dude.
Heather,
are you kidding me?
Sewists. I mean, everything from mending to full-on drafting. If you know how to draft, then you can make clothing for people. People who can draft patterns blow me away. It is something that I've tried to learn, and I might could if I was able to study under someone, but the math and the minor changes of patterns that it is the way it puzzle pieces, again, it's that engineering thing that I struggle with. I don't have that so much.
Yeah.
But like, ooh.
If I was the sewist, it would be like everybody in tube dresses. I would just measure your biggest point, and then I would wrap some fabric around you, sew you into it, and give you two little spaghetti straps.
Yeah.
That's what everybody's getting.
Everyone's wearing circle skirts for me. I don't care who you are. You're wearing a circle skirt and some stretchy jersey top. That's probably a crop because that's all I've got. So like,
and you're like, I would like to build a house and not a skirt, please. Thank you.
Sorry, that's all I have. So we need,
I can't do any better.
We need the sewists and we need the canners. We need the people who understand preserving food, which is
preserving
an incredible knowledge art to have. So like,
we need people fluent in like animal husbandry.
Oh yeah, tanning.
You know,
we
gotta have people out there making cow babies for my delicious ribs.
We're gonna have a full on cattle. We're gonna just turn it into a cattle ranch. But like, think of hide tanning. All of the, you know, like all of these things that like we're going to need again if there's no longer a source. You can't go to Joann Fabrics anymore.
Right. Well, you could. You could raid it if it hasn't already been cleared out. But you can't go there in the traditional sense.
No. In hiking all the way from our place and
to a Joann's
to a Joann Fabric would be a serious, serious investment of effort. But man, that's – so I feel like these are your – like shelter needs to be sorted. Like that's your first one. And generally, I do think people need something to do. So I think
100%.
Having people assigned quickly and is important because it's not that I love the phrase like idle hands are the devil's playground. But I do feel like in the building of something like this, you got to have that engagement.
Sorry.
Otherwise, the momentum can fall. And you don't want the momentum to fall because it's a huge job.
Yeah.
And it's a lot to get off. So you want to keep everybody engaged and excited in it. So I feel like
everybody
needs
a purpose,
to be doing something.
You know?
Yeah, have a purpose. Yeah. Everybody's teaching something.
Now,
everybody's learning something or doing something.
What would you learn? Like, let's say you also had to apprentice, you know, what would you be an apprentice to? Something that you want to learn that maybe you have no idea how to do.
I'd want to learn the other end of growing with the preserving. So I would, because I struggle with that end of the spectrum, you know, and so it's like I've got pretty decent knowledge of how to grow, but like the preservation part, which is going to be so crucial because again, there's no refrigeration. We're going to have cellars in this place. So like that's crucial to me. I would immediately want to partner up with someone who's been canning
nice
and preserving food.
Cold potato cellar. Like that. I think I'd go into herbalism. I think I'd go into like healing type, you know, I don't know.
We're going to need a weed grower. Somebody's going to need to come in who knows how to grow that good shit. And we're going to have to like have our little patch out there.
They rock up in like the most stereotypical stoner wear.
One of them
got,
will.
Like, the handmade.
They'll show up. Yeah. They'll show up and we'll immediately know and be like, oh, thank God. Okay. You're over here.
Come on.
Yeah.
Thank God.
You got seeds. And then we can get them set up and it'll be great.
And they'll talk about, you know, all of that really technical shit that when you listen to people who know how to grow weed talk about, my eyes glaze over because to me, I'm just like, just stick the weed in the ground and smoke it.
And they're talking
so
about
much
like
more to it.
Trichomes or whatever. And you're
it's like, can you get me some headband? That's all I need. Thank you. Goodbye.
I feel like I'm missing something really glaring here. Though.
Okay, let's think. We've got builders. We've got growers.
Oh, we got to have the, okay, so we got to have the spiritual aspect, of course.
Oh, yeah. Because I was going like to say, I love how this has gone immediately into like doomsday bunker.
Well, because you have to. You've got to get
the
infrastructure set up. Otherwise, it's all going to fall apart. But I feel like as that's churning and moving forward, the lifeblood under it all is that meeting place, you know, to where we can have. Yeah. And listen, we're going to have astrologers. Or, you know, like we're going to have all, and so y'all are all going to fucking know every single goddamn thing going on. We're going to have a ceremony for every lunar eclipse and shit that is going on. Like, come on.
We'll need the planners. We'll need the people who are like planning minded, who are like put they organize the town. They run the town essentially and say, okay, we need to do this on this day and this on this day and this day. We got to get this shit over here to do and just keep everybody on their toes. We need people like that.
Yeah.
Who look at a calendar and go, nom, 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 nom.
Yeah, yeah. Which is honestly, I
know
jelly.
That's not witchy, but
I'm so jelly of all.
I think I could probably do that. You know, implementing it is my issue, but I do love a calendar. Okay, so we have astrologers. I'm assuming we've got some herbalists. We've got some, you know, your spiritual cleaners, you know, maybe.
Well, and what's
not
cool.
Like a, medical doctor, but
we're gonna have so many people involved, and you know, like, tell me that there's not gonna be a whole bunch of different people who haven't been following Hecate or the Morrigan or any deity for a really long time. So, like, I feel like you could have ceremonies dedicated to these different deities, and if you follow them, you can go. Or if you, and so it's just like this very open culture of leading all of these different ceremonies from people that know what goes behind them, and just like this worship of the power, depending on who and what and where and when is teaching it and coming to it and tapping into it. I think it'd be super fun.
That's a whole other avenue of teaching, too, because that's a whole other thing of being like, listen, this is something I followed my whole life. Like, whatever it is, whatever sect of witchcraft, paganism, spirituality, whatever it is, right? And you could be like, this is important to me. I want to keep this alive. And you can do so in the manner of your choosing. Like, maybe there's classes or maybe, you know, I don't know, whatever. It just, you know, to be very culturally, like, what's the word? Reverent, I guess. You kind of keep track of that kind of stuff. And, you know, I think that's important. I also think we need our, soothsayers.
Oh.
Just cause.
Come on. Yeah, we need them.
I mean, just cause.
We got, if nothing else, just for the color they bring to life. Like, but come on.
That's the thing. If you show up and you have no skills to speak of, but you just kind of waft around and say cryptic things, I'm marking you down as a bard and I'm letting you in.
that's a definite maybe of like at least because like, listen, every town needs one and,
just kind of disappear for a little while and come back,
mutter, you know, mutter around. Yeah, and kind of, I listen, it's interesting. It makes life interesting. Okay, so let me think here. I mean, I'm trying to run through the little Rolodex in my head of who all we need for shit. And I feel like we've got a pretty good mix
Cooks.
going on. Oh, of
We need
course.
cooks because, like, having food is one thing, but then, like, having good food,
Having
that's enrichment.
food,
Yeah.
like food.
Yeah.
You're going to need your storytellers because, again,
Oh,
this is
yeah.
a
And your
world.
documenters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a world
Yeah.
of no electricity anymore. And so we're going to need our actors and our players
Theater.
and our exactly
Oh.
and our storytellers to entertain at night, you know, and maybe in the evenings on a nice night, they're posted up in different places around the 2,000 acres, and you can go
Yeah.
listen to whatever stories piquing your fancy that night and let them either act it out or you sit and they tell it. Like, here's the thing. I feel like I could very confidently over multiple nights tell the story of Kushiel's Dart. Like, at this point, I've read and studied
See?
that book to where
Yeah.
I could tell it. I could tell that story. So anyone
And
could be a storyteller.
it doesn't have to be, anyone could sign up if they think that they can confidently tell a story. Listen, I'll give you Lord of the Rings. I'll sit down, we'll start. And I'll even do the little Galadriel voice,
Mm-hmm. So I mean, like, I think it could be nice. I think it could be really, I think it could be a nice, fulfilling place. Don't know what I would name it. That would take some thought on the name.
Macy Town.
Come on out to Macy Town.
Come out, Macyville. Right at the
Macyville.
corner of Macy Town.
All the streets are just different. So it's like Macy
Macy
Avenue.
Avenue.
Yeah, exactly. And just different words getting it through.
Macy
Oh, it'd be
Boulevard. And then when you run
horrible.
out of those, you can go a little deep. Anise Road.
Oh, move down the
Which is
name.
kind of,
Yeah, move down the name, but let's nobody forget who this is all about. No, I would enjoy being a shapeshifter on that property to where it's just nobody really pays that much attention to me once it all gets settled in and I just hop around to different jobs, making sure people aren't miserable and that things are moving smooth and but not like in a leader. I don't want to be like the face of leadership. I would rather be like the underbelly of leadership that's checking
Yeah.
that
You need a
everyone,
figurehead,
I
but
need the
you're the one.
figurehead. Yeah, because
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have it. I don't have the desire for power like that.
I need somebody who can whip up some moonshine. I need a brewer. I need a winemaker, moonshinist. We're gonna have to have a little booze. Listen,
We're
if not for sterilization, for fun.
No, it's okay. I mean, if we've got a weed farmer, we're gonna have booze makers and
So do we
brewers.
need like a crack cocaine maker as well?
I think the climate does not support the plant. but I do think you are right in that we need to have spirits throughout, you know, also one, like you said, for
Yes.
cleaning
Yeah.
wounds and sterilization,
Somebody will
but
grow a
people are
mushroom.
going to want a party. Somebody's growing mushrooms. Somebody's growing
Somebody's gonna know how
mushrooms.
to do that. And
And
if that's your skill, come on in, buddy.
I'm not trying the first several batches though. I wanted to get through a couple flights of people before I know it's
I
not going to
don't
take me out.
think whatever council that there is that votes to let people in, I'm not casting my vote for like the first gen mushroom grower who's like, yeah, I've read about it online. No, I
Yeah.
want someone who like this is their whole bag. They can say all the
Yeah.
Latin names
Come
and
bearing
they know.
samples,
Yeah.
and I'm gonna watch as you give it to somebody that's not me and see how it goes for
A
them.
poison tester.
Yes.
That's your. You come to the town, you're like, I'll be the royal potion tester.
Honestly, if you were one of those, because I've met some people that are just like, honestly, their bodies are just really agreeable with like psychedelics and shit like that. And they'll just take so many and be like, oh, yeah, it was a great time. Nothing really even happened. I feel like that's your job then. You are the royal drug
Yeah.
tester.
Yeah. High fucking constitution.
Yeah. And they're free.
Yeah.
That's the trade-off.
Yeah.
You get
At
a bunch
me,
of
yeah.
free drugs to test,
And you
but
get to live
like,
here,
you are the first one. to get them every time. Right. And you just need to know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Someone will take
sure
that
things
job.
Can happen. But like, you know, I do need you to smoke a little bit of that before I do. Because
yeah.
I just want to make sure it doesn't send you through the roof, you know?
Yes, exactly. And I, listen, yeah. someone will jump on it and we'll have our, royal isn't the right word, but our,
maybe it is. This just becomes a monarchy so fucking
gross.
Fast.
But yeah, like I don't know what I would call this place. So I'm going to stew on that because really you've not told me much of yours.
Well, mine's a little bit more, the Pisces rising is going to come out a little bit more because I think mine is far less practical in nature, because whilst I do want to pretend that the rest of the rules of society have degraded in the rest of the world, I also want to pretend a few things. I want to pretend there's still magical power, you know, that I don't know where it comes from. And maybe the water still runs, you know, maybe it's not too far from what we've got. And you know what? Anyone who watches any kind of zombie movie or post-apocalyptic, they know, they'll tell you the most dangerous thing is other people, right?
Yeah.
So I want to be like, maybe we're not going to get raided. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, I...
You know what?
I would rather that not happen. I was a little worried about it with mine, but I don't want to inject guns into the mix because then it's going to be another one of those things to where everybody's all armed up again, and then we've just seen that go bad with a lot of cults. And so it just makes me nervous. But we need a fighting class.
Guns.
We need a warrior class.
That's the thing. We need some kind of protective something. You know what I mean? Maybe somebody's really good at like fucking jujitsu, and they'll teach everybody, and we can all kind of hold our own.
You know who we didn't say? Or, we need a smith.
I don't know. What?
We need a smith. You gotta have a smith.
Oh, God, yeah. The Smiths? You gotta have Morrissey come out?
Just going there and moaning around town. Just,
yeah, Morrissey moaning all the time.
But think about it, man.
That'll be my job.
You need to work in the garden. You need some tools for that shit. You need some steel. Yeah. Like, we need a smith. You need anything like that, you need a blacksmith.
Which means we need people to go out and get fucking ore. There's a lot. There's a lot here, man.
Yeah. Shit.
Okay, so I think mine... I'm with you on the individual houses. Okay, so it's me. I get my 2,000 acres. I bring friends and family. We all got a plate. Okay, I'm covering the basics first. People who know how to grow shit. I'm putting your ass out in the hydroponic area.
Do we have electricity in yours? Because I could do full aquaponics in this world.
Yeah, we got this mystery electricity who we don't really, maybe we have new alien overlords and they're like, look, we'll give you electricity and we'll give you running water and we're not here to kill you. We're just here to observe what you would do with your little 2,000 acre plot. I don't know.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
Got it.
I'm not worried about it. There's also something in the air that you breathe that makes you not question things like this too deep.
Maybe oxygen content has gone up. Whatever happened, it increased the oxygen content in the atmosphere. So everybody's just feeling real great, like how they pump the casinos full of
all the time.
You know?
Just fucking laughing gas being pumped in all the time. what's he saying, Little Shop of Horrors? He said, kid's got a goddamn revolver. immediately I started thinking about skills of the people I know that are already going to be there. I'm like, okay, Macy, grow shit and sews. Hunter can probably build things.
Hunter can build anything.
He can fall off of a four-story roof and be fine.
So that strong constitution is there. And he's like, and realistically, he was in the back of my head when I was thinking of the builder, but I was assuming, I don't know why I assumed we couldn't take any family. I don't know why I didn't take any family. It was just me and you only and our listeners.
They all died.
But he's the one that can build anything to start out.
He starts so he's built. And plus, I mean, listen, not for nothing, Papa built your house and his house and your mom's house. Mm-hmm. He's got the knowledge. He can be the sage, you know,
point around, tell people what to do, rust and build shit.
My mom and mama covered the herbalism.
Yes.
Got the herbalism covered.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
And the candles.
Dad?
And the soaps.
Candles, soaps, herbalism, oils,
sewing
shit like
for
that.
Both of them as well.
Do what?
Sewing as well for both of them.
Sewing
as
well.
That's some skill.
Sewing
there.
As well.
Yeah.
father, my dad, is a workhorse. You know, I feel like anything you need him to do, he's out there. He's the power. He's got a lot of brawn.
Also, and I, with my mom as well, big time bard energy.
Big time bard. And they can both cook.
They can
so
both.
So I'm sticking their asses in the kitchen.
Mom is.
I'm sticking their asses into a band.
Stick them in a band. Mom's a mom is a cosmetologist. People are going to need. Now, she's not going to want to do it probably now, but like if she had
to. She could teach. She could teach her her apprentice.
Yes. And she would be a good teacher. She's very good. So that would be covered, you know, and like we've got that involved. That's useful. Every
your brother, Rustin, of similar energy to my dad. Mm-hmm. He seems like a jack of all trades.
Bit of an everyman. Can, yeah.
Can so much anything. Energy to put into things.
Yes.
But also. Big time bard energy.
Yes. You just got to feed him.
So
you got to feed him.
You got to feed him. But that's okay. You got to feed any of your big old boys who you are going to get feed out there and do the work.
All. Yeah. It's just he will be the most vocal about when it is time to eat.
Right. Which, how could we put that to work?
How could we use that?
How could we use that? Maybe he's the meal planner. Maybe he's the town announcer.
He's the crier. He's Rustin's the crier. Oh my God. Of course.
Oh my God.
Hell yeah. I can't think of anything better. Yeah.
Dude, and he'd love it. He'd eat that shit up too.
Oh my gosh. We could build him a balcony that he goes out on specifically to do his crying. Oh,
he'll make
perfect.
All the announcements.
Oh.
He'll, yeah.
Everyone will hear him. You'll hear him.
We don't need a megaphone.
We don't. He will work in my world or your world. Electricity or no. Because that's the thing about Rustin. And I recognize this as someone who has a voice that also carries. Rustin's is even more so. You can hear his voice over. I don't care how many thousands of people are in the room. And I don't care how far away he is.
You can hear his. It's
you can hear
so
his.
Distinct.
It's there. His everything about
it's like it resonates.
Yes. At its own.
At a different level.
Its own place.
Yeah.
And you can't. And he'd be the perfect crier. Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any mood. Yeah. He could do it in any mood. Oh.
I really would love to see this in action.
Wow.
I would love to see this in action. Okay.
I'm giddy
from
that.
So out of basically everything that we have covered, what are we missing at this point? What do we need? What are we missing? A smith again. We need a smith.
Yes. I think we prioritize, I think it is very important to prioritize, and we've already kind of said this, but I just think it is something that is an undercurrent in both, and that once you've got everything you need and everybody's got a job, I think you do prioritize entertainment. I think it is very important that people know that there is, they're not just, we're not here to just work and be miserable all the time. This isn't just a continuation of the society that has collapsed. We're getting to
exactly.
Like,
I think we work
part of it.
We work for what we need.
Yes.
You know, and to, but there's, you know, if you don't have anything to do, there is no feeling bad about it. You know, maybe you go put your hands to work somewhere else, or you know what? Kick back and go watch a show. Go watch Rustin scream off the balcony about something, you know?
Say what lunch is going to be today. Yeah, go to the courtyard and hear Rustin scream at what the cooks are cooking up today for everybody. And he can mutter under his breath afterwards that they need to fucking speed it up then because he's hungrier than shit and his spinal cord's chewing on his stomach right now. And I just feel like he'd be really great at the job and I'd watch
him. I hadn't had nothing to eat today.
Everybody's acting like I'm just supposed to be fine. Hungry.
Oh, I love him. I love
he'd be great.
Oh, God. Okay.
I feel satisfied about this. I feel pretty satisfied. I mean, logistics are still very loose, and that's how I like it. It's simple.
I mean, you know what? Because we don't know who's going to come walking through that gate. We don't know what skill they're going to provide, and that's what I want to throw over to you guys on Facebook. We'll make a post. We'll pen it possibly. And I just want to say, what is your skill that you are bringing in this type of world? Like, what is something that if you really sat and thought about it, even if, because I'm the kind of person who like thinks, man, I don't know if I'd have anything to offer. You know what I mean? I'd be like, oh, I'd probably just be like a big leech to everybody. But I'm going to sit and I'm going to think. And I'll be like, you know what? What am I good at? I think I am good at the storytelling aspect. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I could probably do that. I could run games of some kind. We could make our own version of D&D. We'll put something together.
Oh, that would be fun.
I'm really good at cleaning things. So, you know, cleanliness is important.
Dude, you have to clean this city. It has to be cleaned. And yeah. That's like something that everybody needs to understand is that it's like, this isn't going to turn into a fucking cesspool. And there's
I'm a massage therapist. I can to pass that down to somebody. Make
that's
sure that
useful.
Art doesn't die.
That is so you know? Useful because everybody's also going, it's going to be, there's a lot to do. People are going to be doing a lot. They're going to need their bodies worked on.
That's the thing. That's another part of it is like you can, on one side of it, you can teach like the massage therapy aspect and be like, here's the motions. Here's where you want to do this, that, and the other. But there's a secondary thing for people like me and for you. We know the body. Like we know where the muscles are located. I would need a good refresher, but I pretty much know all the names of them, the bones and stuff like that. And I think that would be good for people who are, that's just good for people to know. That's just good for people to know.
It is good for people to know
how the body works.
And I like to think everybody trades, you know, like you come in and get a massage by a massage therapist and they
barter
are eating,
system society.
Yeah, they're eating the food that you're growing in the gardens. And so everybody
I don't feel like
is
we have
contributing
any money here.
No, I don't want any money. Thing. I want to try to make
you
it work without any money.
That's how you that's how you contribute though. You know what I mean? That's why we say you have to contribute something when you show up because there's no money. You know, it's like if you show up and you're just sort of like, we do have to have a town drunk. We do have to have somebody who doesn't do anything and just sort of, and I use drunk loosely. You know,
entertainment. You got to have characters. Every town needs a few characters.
That's the thing. That's the thing.
To give it some flair.
I need the guy who like stands on the corner and like sells apples to people. And he just sort of like yells insults at people as they walk by.
As they walk by, you come to expect this. You know, you come to depend on it. And you know what I just thought of? We need a cobbler. Everybody's going to need shoes, dude.
Are you serious?
Who makes shoes anymore?
Shoes?
Who fucking makes shoes anymore? And I don't say that as an insult. It's an amazing craft, but like, who makes shoes anymore? Like, that would actually be pretty difficult to like find people to make proper shoes because assuming.
And that's why I'm so excited about this.
What can y'all do?
God, we've said it 100 times. My brain is sick. My brain is sick in old medicine. Apprentice. The whole apprenticeship. I'm very excited about learning things from other people and passing those things down. And God, you said shoes and that reminded me of something else. Oh, well. A baker. Oh, I was going to say, I, for one, would like to bring in I want to put a big, heavy importance on animals. You know, you're allowed to not eat animals if you don't want, but like, I'm probably still gonna, but I want to make sure that it's like done right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that we need a lot of the stuff from the, like, if we're going to be making shoes, we need that leather, you know, or we
you
need
do.
That whatever else.
There's the hide. You got to have chickens. I mean, like if nothing else, you got to have chickens because eggs are so valuable, if nothing else. If you're
make a big, like a big community-sized omelet, you know, and we can all just come in and get a big fucking serving of that delicious-ass omelet with some salsa that, like, you plucked out of the garden.
Dude, you grew them tomatoes, and you grew them peppers, and you grew them onions, and you cut them all up, and they're all fresh from the goddamn
sun. Cheese from the fucking goats and the cows and shit.
See, that's living. It sounds great. I think the food quality would be through the roof. It would be better than what any of us are getting currently because everything's fresh and everything's made.
Oh, yeah.
The day
it would all
of.
Be like, yeah.
It's just
we need somebody
goodness.
Who knows how to deal with pestilence, though. In
well,
the garden
and, that's the thing.
And with animals.
A lot
disease
of animals,
and pestilence and stuff.
I would not know. The garden is easier, but like there's still stuff that you know, the problem is that we can't just go to the store and get a lot of this stuff. So it would come down to planting companion plants and different herbal remedies that you can try to use that makes insects go away because it's not like we can go to the store and buy some diatomaceous earth.
Have you seen Those fucking slabs, they're like stone slabs, and you use them as like bath mats, or you put your soaps on them in the bathroom, and it's made out of I can never say it right, the diatomaceous earth.
Does it just like soak the water up?
It's the bath mat, and it just...
Interesting.
I ordered some because, like, you know, the bathroom sink is always wet, and that fucking pisses me off. To, like, set your yes. little soap bottle on, I'm so excited for it.
Oh, they haven't anyway. Come in yet. You're going to have to tell me if it works.
Yeah, very excited for
okay.
it.
Okay. I feel content. I feel pretty yeah. content with this.
I'm happy
good.
With this.
Yeah.
This is a good start. It's also really making me think of the game. There's a game called Banished. That this is really, really making me think of where it is. It's a town builder slash resource management game. But you start and you're just a small group of people, like 5-7 people, and you only have a limited amount of things, and you have to like build outward for there. So in That's my head, cool. I'm thinking, what do they need in the game? First up, they need shelter. Blacksmith mm-hmm. comes incredibly fast. Food production is one of the first things because like the tools wear out fast. You know, and then the
yes,
blacksmith, if you don't have one, you're like, fuck, I forgot to get a blacksmith. You need a forester, you know, to keep the tree.
Yeah, you got to have an arborist.
Banished, if you're
yeah.
into that.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
All right.
I also, as we break here and before we go into the sponsor of this week's episode, I have an announcement. I have procured a gaming PC. So expect the return of Charlie with a Y on Twitch.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll play Banished. It's coming in fairly soon. So by the, end of next month, beginning of the one after that or so, we should see a pretty solid schedule working out. Get hype.
Good. Anyway. I'm so excited, dude. And then all I need to do is get a computer and we'll be set up.
It's a fucking refurbished. It's a refurb, and it was on like hella mega sale. And it was like, it's like an $800 gaming computer, which listen, I know people out there who build their PCs, and that was my plan. I know that like a $800, you're like, oh, pff. But listen, it's better than nothing.
You do what you and can with what you got. Yeah. And
But I didn't pay $800 for it.
No.
Maybe.
I'm pro refurb. I'm using a refurb computer right now. And though it's old,
love refurb.
It has been great to me. It's just old. Yeah. It's not its fault, though. It has been good.
Well, see, in the... Listen, I didn't build it, but I have been doing a lot of research, and I feel like I can kind of hold... I can't hold my own with, like, the nerds, you know. But, like, I kind of know what I'm talking about now, and it's got some pretty good specs, so I'm kind of happy. Anyway, Charlie with a Y, Twitch TV, twitch.tv/CharlieWithAY, something like it. It's linked below. Let's talk about this week's sponsor. Macy. You know who I've been thinking about a lot recently? The Morrigan.
Whoa.
And how I wish I could build a deep and authentic connection with them.
Wow. I've heard that the Morrigan is a very deep topic to get into, and might not be a bad idea to seek the guidance and knowledge of others on that front as you go to learn a little bit more about the Morrigan.
If only there was a place to do this.
If there was just one place. Well, let me tell you, there is a place. There is a gathering that is going on in Washington State along the Columbia River Gorge. George, the Columbia River George. The Columbia River Gorge. And this is going to be a 4-day, 3-night immersion that explores the Irish goddess, the Morrigan.
Will this also help me to develop my spiritual tools to create a powerful personal change? Perhaps deepen and strengthen my spiritual path through the Irish myths and teachings?
Sounding like it, man. So at the meeting of the Ford, a Morrigan immersion, there's going to be a lot that is going on. Information that is led by native Irish experts and award-winning spiritual authors and a professional wellness facilitator and ritualist. Participants, they'll study the Morrigan's myths and learn and take cues to form these deep, authentic connections with the Morrigan, developing spiritual tools to navigate personal crossroads, align with purpose, and deepen or renew a personal spiritual practice. So maybe you've had that connection before, and it's kind of just fallen a little bit. This could be a wonderful experience to rekindle that with your interest or devotion to the Morrigan.
And not only is it going to be learning about or reconnecting your relationship with the Morrigan, I want to talk about what else is included here, okay? You also get some deep and compassionate support from the people around you, of which, might I say, is only going to be about 20 people.
Nice.
Small class, small learning group.
I like that. Like that.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Big fan.
There's going to be guides there for you. So if you are like totally clueless, all the way up to totally experienced, you're going to have a place here. There's also going to be food involved. There's going to be 3 breakfasts, 2 lunches, 2 dinners, and you get snacks every day. And more importantly, they are nourishing and locally sourced.
You get a tour of some regional waterfalls, because again, this is Washington. Dude. It's going to be beautiful. It's just a beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous, gorgeous place. As you can go tour waterfalls and natural phenomena led by local guides and experts. And guys, you get a gift basket. A gift basket. We love it. You get a gift basket. Come on now. Waiting for you there at your lodgings, which are going to be located at the Society Hotel. On the website here that we are going to be linking in the show notes, it's CourtneyAWeber.com, and we'll have the link to this specific page on there. She talks more about the location, how things like that work, pricing, as well as important dates. And one important date is April 1st. Applications open. And an even more important date is April 20th. Applications close. So that's a very important one to know. May 1st, participants are notified of acceptance by email. April 20th, if you are interested in this experience, give an application in there. They open up on April 1st, so you can go ahead and submit your application to get in and hop on this website here. Well, again, it's linked in the show notes, and take a look at the facilitators, all of the information around it. This area just looks so pretty, I swear. Go to Washington State so bad.
What better place, dude, to like not only strengthen your connection to this absolute powerhouse of the Morrigan and just like renew your personal spiritual practice and to just get in touch. What a better place than a spa hotel with all of the like cliffs and rivers.
I die. So guys, one more time, this is Meeting at the Ford, a Morrigan immersion. This is a 4-day, 3-night experience. It is going into the Irish goddess, the Morrigan. So lots of learning to be had there. It's CourtneyAWeber.com. The full link to this page is in the show notes. Y'all check it out. They're a friend of the show. And anyway, see if we can get some of y'all out there learning about the Morrigan, which is so incredible.
Touch a waterfall for me.
Oh, yeah. Touch. We'll know. We'll know you did it.
Yeah. We'll feel it. We'll go,
yeah. All right. All righty. Then I think let's roll in. Let's roll into celery.
Back to the show.
All righty. Which I cannot have. My brain wants to spell it celery, like C-E-L-A-R-Y, every time. I struggle to put that second E in there. So every single time I was typing it, I would get like the red squiggles. And I was like, what? And then it was every time I put an A in there. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's me.
The red squiggles are a fact of life.
And so modern celery descends from Apium graveolens. It is native to the Mediterranean, and it's a member of the same family of parsley, carrots, and dill. It's in the parsley family. The wild version of this, because this is another one of those that has been changed by human involvement from its original wild state a good bit. But the wild...
Wild celery.
And its culinary use was not really as much because it was bitter and gross and mildly toxic. So it was used more differently than that, which we get into it later. But yeah, a lot like other things like corn, you know, like we talked about, humans have been involved with kind of changing and breeding and
bananas,
putting stuff in here. Yes, bananas. And so... I have us a brief history of celery, and the history of celery is actually pretty long and pretty damn global. So I just I just kind of picked
Give
a lane.
Give us your best.
Yeah. So
give us your best.
French scientist Oliver de Serre began cultivating a celery variety in the 1620s. So it's pretty far on back there. And by the 18th century, it had spread and it was growing in English gardens. So it was starting to spread and take hold. And over the course of even more years, decades went on, it was still like crossbred and changed with other varieties, eventually becoming solid. So the original wild celery, I believe, is hollow. And so it's not like our U-shapes, you know, like a solid one. Yeah. And so it was hollow. And so then you start seeing the kind of U-shaped stalks that we're more familiar with starting to develop. And we're recognizing it a little. This is maybe a little bit more of the celery that we would be like, okay, I recognize this as celery. So in the 1730s, they had the process of blanching. And blanching is not like what we think it is when you boil stuff, like flash boil it to like peaches when trying to get the skins off or whatever.
And then dunk it in water. Right?
Yeah. Like this is not that. It is a gardening process. And it seems that growers would plant the celery seeds in these trenches that were like a foot wide and 6 inches deep, and they would plant them all, and then they would sprout. And as they sprouted, they would pile the dirt kind of up around the plants as they grew.
Oh, kind of like you do with potatoes.
That's what it reminded me of. Yeah, and like you do it to keep the sun off of it. But it's like they'll say paler and more tender when shielded like that. So less bitter in flavor as well. And so this meant you could start it, because before this, while it was being grown in English gardens, it didn't necessarily mean you wanted to chow down raw with it. It didn't taste as good as like your store-bought celery today from the grocery store. However, it did seem to be taken on a bit more in an accepted way versus like the tomato, which was side-eyed very intensely. But the tomato was also from the New World. This was from the Mediterranean. So I feel like they're like, it's safe. You know, it's not
wolf peach
from, yeah, wolf peach. God. And so celery was safe, it seems. It wasn't going to make you a werewolf. And by the 17...
I love how scared they were of things.
Very but scared like, of vegetables.
Totally not scared of the things they should be afraid of.
Yeah, not scared of, like, drinking out of shit water, but you better not let a tomato touch you. Like, yeah. God forbid.
Yeah. Put that, like, lead powder makeup in your lungs. But don't eat some celery. Yeah.
Yeah. In the 1760s, celery was beginning to be poised, it seems, to make its leap across the pond to America. And it was via advertisement of seeds in catalogs in London. You could buy celery seeds. And so it seemed celery seeds were bought and shipped and made their way somehow, whether people brought them or shipped them, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Seeds made it over to the New World. And it became pretty widely grown after a little while. The blanching process was picked up stateside, and it just kind of began rock and roll and growing celery. And it made its way into cookbooks pretty quickly. There's celery, and like
American Cookery.
The very first published cookbook. Yeah. And I don't remember if that's what it's called, but it's like the first cookbook, and it's in there talking about celery. Yeah. And variety of dishes, too, from soups to main courses to stuffings to sauces to things like that. So it was seen pretty all over the place.
I fucking love stuffing.
I love stuffing. And it kills me that every person who ever makes it, anytime you're eating stuffing that's always delicious, they're like, well, it's just the worst stuffing I've ever made. And I wish that people knew who made stuffing. I wish that y'all understood that it's delicious no matter what.
It's always the best.
It's the best.
Stuffing.
It's not, there's nothing wrong with it. It's all I could ever dream of. Be proud of your stuffing.
Especially, there are two people in this world who I might lay down my life for their stuffing.
Yes.
My grandmother, or our shared grandmother, and my mother.
And they both shit all over
every time. Every time they make it, it's just, well, it's just not good.
It drives me nuts. They both do it. And it's like, I'm over there slathering it. I'm essentially in a bathtub of it and cranberry sauce. And they're just like, I'm appalled. I'm embarrassed by this stuff. And it's just like, I'm embarrassing myself right now at how fucking sloppy I am with this shit. Okay. It's delicious. Always know your stuffing's good. Okay. Have faith.
Yeah. 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 Everybody shut the fuck up.
Everybody shut up about how much your stuffing's not good. It's delicious. So it seems the heart center of the celery foothold in the United States is in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Whoa.
And Kalamazoo, it led it to get the name the Celery City or just Celery City for a while, which I'm such a big fan of. I love that. It seems, and I don't know enough about this to know the full story. I know you Kalamazooans. I don't know if that's what you'll call yourselves. Kalamazooties, whatever you
are. Kalamazooties.
But it, Celery City was retired, it seems, as more of a mainstream name for the mall city, because I think that Kalamazoo was the first city to have like a public mall and like not like shopping mall, but like, you know, like a big open public area that people could go where there's downtown shopping and stuff like that, like an open public mall in that sense, because people were moving to the burbs at that time and downtown was starting to die. So in order for them to bring commerce in, they invested in this public area
A Tanger Outlet Center.
Y'all come party and eat and go shop and do all this other shit. So the first mall, it seems, I think it was in Kalamazoo. So now it's the mall city, but it was Celery City because there's a shit pile of celery being grown in Kalamazoo, Michigan, apparently. And celery, I did not know this, celery had a role as a fancy table ornament for a good long while, to the point that it had its own dedicated serving container, the celery vase
what?
Or the celery glass. And it was a fancy... Look up celery vase. And it was for display of celery at the table for a decorative flair. For a good long minute, by the upper crust initially, specifically. Now, of course, that changed.
They're pretty.
They're very pretty. Yeah, it's nice. It's very fancy, and
especially some of these like more ornate ones, like this purple one. Damn.
And if I was to come across it in an antique store, and I probably have before, I would never have thought that celery is supposed to go in it. Like I didn't know that, but it's made specifically for celery. And the typical vessel is shaped like a parfait glass. It has a waist kind of that tucks in a lot of the time. And then it kind of flares out a back again at the top. 8 to 12 inches
like a
tall.
Trombone.
Yeah, the little flute. And it's they're 8 to 12 inches long. Usually tall, these vessels. And made of glass or silver, depending on, you know, your set there. And I kept a lot of them, ice water was put in the base so it would keep the stock crispy. And so
crunchy.
I think in some cases you could maybe go over there and like pull one out and break one off and eat it.
Yeah, how do you do this elegantly?
I don't know. I would feel like I would break every rule at a old timey party.
Yeah. Beekman would be side eyeing
throw
you.
Me
you would
out.
Not be invited again.
Never, ever, ever. Which honestly fine by me, but she would throw me out. And why were they doing this with celery? Well, why else? It was a little bit expensive initially. So you got to showcase that you had the money to have the celery. It's like pineapples, right? How if you had like a pineapple during certain years, like at your dinner party, it was essentially you slinging your fucking hog on the table and being like, look at this shit.
Eat up.
Like, eat up. And so this was kind of like that. You had some celery that was in a fancy thing and it's on the table and it's like, oh shit, they've got celery. People were supposed to really be impressed by that.
You know, I'm trying to think of it. Leonard, look, they have celery.
I want that. And so it's... why? Well, so it was also kind of a finicky bitch to grow, for one. Celery has got a little bit persnickety. It also is prone to disease pretty easy. So it was like it was being grown, but like... it's not the highest yielding thing, it seems, and is kind of a bit tricksy. So they were growing enough to produce a crop that was valuable enough for the upper crust to be very interested in. And it seems like that's what happened. And it didn't last forever, though, this demand, this fanciness surrounding celery, because improvements in growing techniques began to form. And after the American Civil War, new varieties began to appear. Of celery began to spread and
gross. They were, now everybody can get it? Ew.
Exactly, dude. So they were more productive. They were less prone to disease. They lowered the price and made it injected more into the kind of, I don't know if there was a technical middle class at this time post-Civil War, but got it below the upper crust more and into more hands, at least. Mm. And so, okay, so here we go. This was an interesting excerpt that it just talks about how there's so many things in history that you just don't think can be affected by other things. And it's just neat to see how it all goes together. So this was from a site called Epicurious.com. And so here we go. In the era before railroads, market gardens needed to be just a few miles from a city, since growers had to haul their produce to market by wagon several times a week. By the 1840s, though, newly completed railroads made urban markets accessible to farmers much further out. A new network of wholesale merchants soon emerged to buy produce from rural gardeners and broker its sale in large cities, prompting more growers to cultivate produce for urban markets. With a primary focus on maximizing profits, these growers and middlemen soon turned to more perishable but more lucrative produce, like celery. Mm-hmm. So it made it a bit more, it was prioritized because it was the railroad system made it to where you're not just growing produce for the little town a couple miles down the road. You can grow more in bulk and sell it to the urban markets. And so varieties that jived more with the American climate were created, including two varieties that the name cracks me up with. And so the first one's not too much, but it's Cole's, like a name, Cole's Superb White, which gives me joy. But the second one is truly a gift to everyone on this earth. And it is Nuts Champion White. And I saw it and just needed to put my hands down on my keyboard for a little while and just look at it. Nuts Champion White.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a privilege to have.
Yeah. Yeah, white. And I know it's talking about the celery color, but it just reminds me of the whites with fucking Culpepper. Talking about a woman's whites and this, the champion fucking Nuts Champion White. It sounds like cum. It's just all it sounds like, and it's all I can think about.
Let's call it what it is. It's cum.
It's cum. And so even... even though it was becoming more wildly available, celery still had kind of a posh vibe to it. It was still a bit, you know, in vogue. And it had a place in multiple places around the dinner table, kind of depending on who was hosting, what was going on, what society, author, or cookbook
of
was writing it.
Of my champion whites.
Of my Nuts Champion Whites. And oftentimes, a mid-meal relish tray. I love a relish tray. Give me a tray with some pickles and olives and celery on it. I'll eat it all. I'm a big
fan. I'll eat all those pickles and I'll eat all of those olives.
And so it was common in there. Oftentimes on ice in a celery vase or served as the main course at times. And along with this, generally being a colder weather crop, initially it was generally harvested fresh around the holidays, peaking around November and December. So it very quickly made its way into quite a holiday staple, which it is.
Cute.
And I
guess, yeah, it goes in all that.
It's in all that shit, all the stuffing. And it was a very, very early on recipes that it was in cranberry sauces, like cranberry relishes, kind of like how Tony makes. I think I saw it was like cranberries, celery, mango and something else, which I was like, actually, that sounds kind of great. I'd mess with that.
I could have a Thanksgiving plate right now.
I could go for a Thanksgiving plate. I think of Tony's cranberry relish all the time. I would eat that with a spoon for breakfast.
Mix that with the stuffing and put it on a little roll. Delicious.
It's all you need. And delicious. And an interesting observation of society, and we all know this is how society often works. By the tail end of the 1800s, it began to fall out of vogue to have a tall centerpiece, a big tall celery centerpiece. And it became more popular to serve things laying flat. So initially silverware would also be served sticking up and everything was served. But then it became more, no, we want to serve things flat. So celery was cut, served flat.
And why do trends? Why do trends happen? They're so dumb.
Well, it seems like the reason it started happening and the switch to flat was because these upper crust behaviors were starting to get picked up by the more mainstream restaurants of the time. So the upper crust isn't going to want to look at the equivalent of a modern Applebee's with their fancy tall shit. And they're going to be like, ew, gross. The pores are doing it now. We've got to do something else.
So put it on its side. That'll do it.
Flat is in now. Tall is out, because that is what the peasants are doing.
And that's what Chili's is doing.
Yes. Mm. So it seems like that was a legit reason as to things started moving flatly. Now, it wouldn't seem like that's a big deal much for the celery industry, but it actually is, because it impacted the varieties being grown. Because to suit this trend, not entirely, but partially, very tall, fancy, florally varieties were being produced because they were being used as centerpieces. Now, they are being less sought after versus the more shorter, solid, like dwarf varieties, which only get, you know, about 18-ish or so inches tall. Sturdy. Your more standard celery that we would recognize from the grocery store. And at this time, self-blanching varieties were starting to be created, as was techniques that could cut costs with growing. So celery was really becoming pretty more commonly grown and made its way all the way out to the fields of California, who is still the top producer of celery today in the United States, growing 80% of America's celery. And of course, over time, celery became more of a year-round crop that we see today instead of a cold season one, specifically and only. So that was another blow, though, dealt to the exclusivity of it. It became more common. And it suffered the curse of what happens when you become more available, is that you just become in less demand necessarily. You kind of become another vegetable.
Humans are weird, man.
Yeah, it's just it's not
I only
special.
Want it if no one else has it.
Yeah, and so since it was so available, you know, it just wasn't as big of a deal. In the 1940s, though, production did slow because of the forcing of Japanese people into internment camps, i.e. concentration camps, which is something that absolutely was done and is one of the
something
many dark
that,
stains that just streaks across
I
this
didn't
country.
Learn about in school.
We did, but like...
We breezed over.
Breezed over. They were just work camps. You know.
They made it seem more like, oh, they were prisoners of war.
It was kind of for their safety because they, you know, like, no, and it was
then,
horrible.
Then you grow up a little and you're like, oh.
Oh, it was truly nightmarish. And a bunch of people died. Oh. And even worse, when they got out of imprisonment, a lot of them couldn't regain their lands, or their lands had been taken for wartime efforts. And so they came out with no money because they hadn't been able to work, because they'd been working essentially forced labor, starving in an internment camp.
Right.
And then came out and it's just like, all right, bye.
Live.
Figure it out while we're all still heinously prejudiced to you the whole time. So while there have been fluctuations in the production of celery in California over years since, still far and away, California has remained the go-to state for our state or our country's grocery store celery. And so Florida's second place. So both ends of the country, you got Florida's far, far behind, it seems. But Florida is the second place. So
interesting.
We'll get into a little bit of history with celery here. And so there was this great article that I found, NPR article, called Celery. Why? And that's it.
Okay, wonderful. The question on all of our lips.
And in this, it's an interview with Juan Carlos Quiros, a plant geneticist emeritus from the University of California, Davis, so UC Davis. And he says, so getting into the historical use, and this is so what makes this tricky is that in the Mediterranean region, there was wild celery, but we also know that humans were involved with celery pretty far back. So it's not always clear if this was like full on wild celery or cultivated celery that they were talking about, but celery nonetheless. And so this professor and plant geneticist says, people in Egypt, Rome, and China, because that's a whole other thing. There is Chinese celery, which I like is all its whole own other avenue within history that is, again, it's so big today. Used the wild plant medicinally for a slew of ailments, but usually for hangovers or as aphrodisiacs. The Greeks and Romans, there's a lot of aphrodisiac use with celery, like a lot. I didn't expect it, but I probably should have. And so the Greeks and Romans favored wild celery's leaves to weave victory crowns for athletes, as well as Egyptians. They did the same. And in fact, archaeologists discovered a celery wreath in Tutankhamun's tomb. So King Tut's tomb had a celery wreath in it.
King Tut.
So, got a condom made of stoner. That is unreal. That whole song is so ridiculous. So, that article did open up with this line, which it opened up like a shot, this
what, celery. Article, celery, why?
Celery, colon, why? NPR article. And it said, celery, the mild-mannered straight man of the vegetable world, packs a puny 6 calories per stalk, and in my opinion, as much flavor as a desk lamp. And I was like, whoa, that's really coming in hot.
The word puny really stuck it to me there.
Yeah. The mild-mannered straight man of the vegetable world. That is such a take. So it's... And
it's
also
the David Spade of the vegetable world.
I don't think that it... I don't think it's flavorless. I feel like celery has a huge flavor. Like, it's watery.
You can pick it out for
but
sure.
But you can pick out... I don't consider celery flavorless. So
maybe they are confusing it with watery. Maybe it's just like,
it is. Yeah.
The same people who say that water chestnuts don't taste like anything. It's just like, it's a texture thing.
I love a water chestnut. Oh, I love a water chestnut. Chestnut. I love it so much. So, this was from newworldencyclopedia.com. This line just really cracked me up because it's just so what it is. And it's just, its wonderful. Unique flavor and texture brings joy to people. And it's talking about celery. But I had to take it down, you know? And so celery is mentioned many times in historical works that you probably studied in high school, such as Homer's Iliad, as well as the Odyssey. In the Iliad, the horses... there are horses mentioned grazing on wild celery that grows outside the marshlands of Troy. In the Odyssey, it grows outside of the cave of Calypso. So it's all up in there. I cannot think of the Odyssey and not immediately shoot back to high school. Like I remember my high school English class back in the Odyssey and the Iliad.
I remember, and it was sort of like the Odyssey and also, what's the other one?
The Iliad?
Yeah, I guess. Our teacher brought in Oh Brother for everyone to watch.
Nice.
Because that's, the modern day retelling or whatever.
It's an adaption.
But I had seen it a million times at this point, but I remember getting to witness a lot of people's first times with that film. That was pretty cool.
That's nice. I'd be into that. We never got to watch Oh Brother in school, but I would have enjoyed the hell out of that day if we did. That was such a family staple. Simp Cap. Yeah. We are doing that one for sure.
Yeah.
We have to.
Do we need to put it side by side?
Oh, God. With the Odyssey? We could just get the Spark Notes for the Odyssey and just...
There is no other version. I'm sorry. When it comes to things like old English books and fucking Beowulf and shit, there is nothing that exists to me other than the, the ones where it's like the original writing and on the side.
And it's the summary that breaks it down.
It's it's just the new, like, the, for lack of a better
term,
translated
it more like, like how, like modern speak or whatever.
That's how I read Romeo and Juliet in high school. And that's how I was the only person in the class who basically understood it.
Understood anything going on?
You can't give that to, like, and I know there are people, and I'm not saying, this is not about, like, I'm just saying, you can't give that to, like, 16-year-olds who all they want to do is not read Shakespeare.
Well, that's the wording. Except a few nerds. is so different. Just like how wherefore art thou means like, why are you? You know, right. Like shit like that. You don't know that. You're reading all this shit. You don't know it.
It depends on your teacher too. Because if you got a teacher, I had a teacher who some Shakespeare I remember reading and really digging because they went through it with us and they basically broke it down. They said this. But then, like, with Romeo and Juliet, my teacher that I had at the time, they were just like, go home and read, you know, this section through this this act through this act, you know, and that's your homework. And it was just like, excuse me, what?
Luckily, I had a good one. I had a good English teacher for Odyssey and Iliad. And that's why, here's the thing, because I've had to read the Odyssey 3 times. I had to read it in college, and I had to read it twice in school. And so it's like, I've read it enough times. I am spark noting it. I'm not reading it again. I've done it. I have been there. But I do think that would be fun to compare it and like kind of tie all of it together and do a whole Wimp Cap series on it. And
we'll get the modern day translation.
Yes, I'm in.
Yeah.
And so, according to Pliny the Elder, and this is going to be very appropriate.
Great.
With what we know about Pliny the Elder. The yolk of eggs, boiled hard, mixed with a little saffron and honey, and applied in woman's milk, relieves pains of the eyes.
Mark it. We've got, first of all, his favorite thing, rubbing it in the eyes.
Eyeballs. Always the eyeballs. Second of all,
in woman.
And breast milk, I guess that means breast milk. You dip it in breast milk and put it over the eyes. Or it may be placed over the eyes on wool with rose oil and honey wine, or applied in honey wine with ground celery seed and pearl barley. So that's why I said this. A celery seed was involved in the eye treatment of putting either a cloth on your eyes. I can see some of those elements
working. But like some of them are real curveballs.
Yeah, they all are. I've got another one for you.
And the milk.
I've got another one for you. This has nothing to do with celery salt or a celery seed or celery anything. It's just I found that first excerpt in his natural history writing. It's just long. It's this big, long document. And this just caught my eye. And it's classic. Classic Pliny the Elder. And I just had to include it. I will not pass over a marvel, though it has nothing to do with medicine, if the limbs of hens are stirred up in melted gold, they absorb it all into themselves. So violent a poison of gold is chicken. But cocks themselves do not crow if they have a collar of wood shavings round their necks.
What is he talking about? Put him to bed. What does that mean?
I feel like he's just rolling, dude. I feel like he's rolling on something and he's just writing it out.
That is absolutely just flow state speech.
Yeah, he says you cut off chicken legs, put them in boiled gold. Who's got a vat of boiled gold, for one? And then the chicken legs absorb the gold inside of them because apparently chicken is a poison to gold. Chicken poisons gold. But if you don't want your rooster to crow, in a completely unrelated tangent, you put wood shavings around its neck.
Why did he start talking about the... I swear, this dude, something's going on up here. And he just, it's just a stream.
It's like automatic writing.
Yeah.
He's just doing automatic writing, and now we have Pliny the Elder's natural history. It's wild. So
I love it so much.
Let's, with that, roll into the metaphysical, because it seems as good a time as any after all that shit. And so when we get to the magical uses, there's kind of like different ways we can go here. And yes, it's interesting. So also different
Are
ways
we can... Pause. Are we going to talk about why your mouth goes numb?
Well, I kind of did. So, I forgot to write down what that is, but it seems like the main reason, I mean, aside from the fact that you could be, like, full-on legit allergic to it, but it seems that that pollen type thing, I meant to write the name down, but I'm not seeing it in my notes anywhere.
Okay, yes.
It's a common one for that to happen with, but...
Gotcha. Okay.
So, You can use celery seed. Celery seed is a very common magical ingredient, as well as the stalks themselves. So you can kind of use all whatever you want to use here. Or you can use celery salt because it's delicious. And I love celery salt so damn much.
Celery salt's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. I remember the first time I ever had it. The first time I ever had it was back, I was like my sophomore year of high school, the year that Sonic invested in like the summer of hot dogs. And so they had like the Chicago dog, the New York dog.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I ever had a Chicago dog. And it blew me away. Absolutely blew me away. I'm still a big fan of a Chicago dog. I had one when I was in Chicago and I was actually really shocked at how much it tasted like the Sonic dog. And it was like, I was like, oh. Okay, then. But it's delicious. I love celery salt. And so celery seeds from the 7th century BC were found in a sanctuary that was to the goddess of Hera, leading to an association with Hera. And apparently, y'all, this is one of these things that was just repeated all over the internet, and I couldn't find where it came from. I couldn't find the root of it, but it's just, I have to include it. There's like an old folktale thing that witches would chew celery seed to combat dizziness so they didn't fall off their brooms when they were riding them.
Who was the first person to say that?
I don't know.
But what's the purpose?
All over the place. I don't know.
Oh my God.
And
we all know that the witches riding the broom, we all know what that was.
Yeah. And so it sounds like the last thing you want to do is chew a bunch of celery seed and bring you back down to earth, you know, to like.
Yeah.
Like.
No, I want to blast off with my flying ointment.
Yeah.
Like. Up my butt, taint, coochie, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm chewing 5 gum right now. I'm having a whole like experience. The last thing I need is for celery to come in and shake my dizziness.
And, yeah. No, thank you.
No,
unless
thank
it was
you.
Code. Unless it's code, maybe it's like, look, if you're hanging out and one of your friends is flying a little too high and they're freaking out, chew on some celery.
That's how you do it. Yeah. Yeah. Could be. Could be.
Bring it down a little.
And celery's a little horny.
Yeah.
It is.
It's very rigid and tall.
Well, the seed, celery seed is a big part of it. Celery seed. Mm. But of course, yes, the stalk is too.
And the cum.
It's very
remember
firm.
The cum, the whites.
Yeah. The whites, lots of it.
Yeah. Nuts, favorite
wet,
whites,
nut,
whatever.
White, stock.
Spectacular whites.
Yeah. And we've got some fun names that it has been nicknamed.
Thank God.
Before. But it is said that chewing celery seeds can increase lust. Lust specifically. Lust. Just increase it.
Lust.
Get that lust up. What are your lust numbers? Well, buddy, that's too low. Get them
How
up.
How many lust units do you got?
Yeah, exactly. You need more of them. And it is very often in throughout history used as an aphrodisiac, especially a dude aphrodisiac, to have liftoff, if you will. And it is indicated in such names as stand-up herb, stand-up wart, studwort and buckswort. So you can see the theme.
Buckswort. Yeah.
Oh. And so on the other hand, celery is very, very tied to the astral or spirit side of things, which is really interesting, but it makes sense when you look into it. And it made me kind of giggle a little bit to think about that because there is a lot of like spirit and ancestral communication. And I was like, what if you're really trying to work on that and you just accidentally pop a bone? You know, like your wires get crossed and you're chewing your seeds and
you're in like a very high cerebral state.
And you just pop
one. You know, and you're like trying and you're just, oh, fuck.
Oh, shit. And so I
close it down. Just stop it.
Tuck it in the waistband. But but in all seriousness, celery is tied to dream work and ancestor work and a lot of psychic energy all going around celery here. It has long been found in many tombs and sanctuaries for multiple different deities or high figures. It was present in multiple different death rites, celery was. And granted, it's not the exact same kind that is cultivated today, but still, it's the energy is there, and that tie to reverence is still there. There's a lot of reverent uses to celery with these, like, honoring of these important deities and these death passage rites, things like that that involve a lot of care and respect. And we might not think of humble celery like that. You know, it's kind of interesting. It was like, good for you, celery, mean and shit. And I think it makes sense to me a little bit. And I don't know if this is like the main reason, but it made sense because it is so watery. I feel like celery is essentially water with just enough fiber to hold it together to make it water fiber, but it's still water. And I feel when I think of water, I think of knowledge and the abyss of spirit and stuff like that. It is very watery to me. I think of the rune Laugus or Mimir's Well, there where Odin sacrificed his eye to get the knowledge from Mimir's Well. There's just water as a holder of a lot of knowledge.
Very deep.
Yeah. And with that, because I know there's, of course, the spirit element of its own, but water to me is right there. It's just that, because there's, especially if you're working with ancestors, I feel like with water, there's that emotion, you know, like that flowing. Yeah. We are one, the same, you know, there's the water in the blood and in the body. That's that river of blood and water and fluid that has continued on for your ancestral path. I feel like water is a good way to tap into that. So it makes sense to me. And maybe you want to make it a good addition for an ancestor meal. You know, because you have that element in there that's going to help build that tether. And maybe you want to have fun with it. Maybe, all right, maybe you get a little bit more practical and you make a good old soup. Maybe you make like a chicken noodle soup, you know, and you got that celery in there and you've got all going on. Or,
oh my God.
Like, maybe you make them a plate of ants on a log. They're going to love it so much. Or, make them a Bloody Mary. Put a big old stock right up in the top.
There you go.
Dress them up a good one. Put everything in it. Yes. Put it all in there. Yeah. And then, like, it's theirs.
Chunky spices.
Oh.
Chunky spices.
Yes. The additions. Yeah. It's not just the mix. You've got some hot sauce in there. You've got your celery salt. You've got your olives. You've got your fucking celery. You've got a fucking, I like it when they put the pickles on there. Like, put everything on there that you want
olives,
on a Bloody
pickles.
Mary.
Shove it in
all
there.
Of it.
Give me
dude.
A snack.
Make that for your ancestor, and your ancestor can grab onto that celery like a beacon through space and time, and
and just
connect with
and
you.
Just go for it. Hell yeah,
I'm in. So, but there is a deep, deep psychic tie that runs with celery. Can be utilized in kitchen magic, you know, by cooking with it or utilizing the seeds or the salt in a candle spell, or an herb blend, using the seeds in like an herb blend to use on a disc to burn, to awaken this psychic or even prophetic energy. And these roots are really deeply tied, it seems, to conjure magic and root work. I found this on herbmagic.com. And looking into that, so big, big time, deep psychic ties in that field, in that arena. And God, my throat feels
she's dying
a little bit tight.
Oh no! Macy was oh.
This is also very well known, and therefore I shall not trouble the reader with the description thereof. It is an herb of mercury. Oh. Smallage is hotter, drier, and much more medicinal than parsley. For it much more opens obstructions of the liver and spleen. Rarefies thick phlegm and cleanses it in the blood withal. It provokes urine and women's courses, and is singularly good against yellow jaundice, tertian, and quartan agues, if the juice thereof is taken, but especially made into a syrup. The juice also put to honey And barley water is very good to gargle the mouth and throat of those that have sores and ulcers in them and will quickly heal them. The seed is especially used to break and expel wind and kill worms and to help a stinking breath. The root is effectual to all the purposes aforesaid and is held to be stronger in operation than the herb, but especially to open obstructions and to rid away any og, if the juice thereof is taken in wine or a decoction thereof.
Whew. Man, my muscles feel like they were just really tight.
Macy, I don't want to alarm you, but we had a visit. We got to hear a little bit more about the og. And the obstructions in the liver? Why did he say that?
What could that mean? What could that
Why did he say that?
What is an obstruction in the liver?
What makes him say some of the things he says?
I don't know.
Like, I'm being very, very serious.
I don't know.
He had to sit down and come up with, or maybe someone said it before him, where did this come from? And why did you just say things like a cucumber 1 degree cooler will be poisonous? You
I don't know.
You made that up.
Apparently, it's hotter and drier than parsley.
Hotter and drier.
I don't know what that means. I don't know.
I'm about
to
throw him into the pit, dude.
I don't know.
I am. Okay. Well, I'm glad you're feeling back to normal. I'm glad that
he's gone
it.
Now. Yeah.
One day he's just not going to leave.
It will take me so long to say anything if that ever happens.
Everything, it's so riddled with like adjatives and flowery verse. It's
so
just
much.
Like, dude, just say it makes you fart.
Get your nonsense to the point. It breaks the wind and expels the worm. Yeah.
He's obsessed with worms too.
A lot of people had him.
Yeah. I mean, I guess
people had
good
that
reason.
Worm. Yeah. I'm done. That's everything that I have.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, beautiful. Do you remember that rumor? And this is not true from my understanding. But do you remember they used to say that if you ate celery, it burned more calories to eat it than it
Yeah, that it was a negative food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a negative calorie food.
Yeah.
So everybody like tried to eat a bunch of celery to get skinny.
Yeah, that was a big one in like the 2000s, especially.
Right.
I remember carrots and celery. Yeah. You can eat them and you could just never, ever actually gain any weight. Yeah, I remember that.
And then shortly after, we had Atkins coming in, blowing everybody's dicks off, saying, just eat meat and cheese, brother.
Eat meat and cheese.
It's good for you.
Dude, what a time.
What a time.
What a time.
I had so much bacon and fried eggs. Mm-hmm. And under the guise of, this is health food.
We had a lot.
Which is to not say it's not nourishing, but you know.
It can be a lot. We grew up in the fad diet era. Like, big
so much
time.
Mental
damage. Yeah, it was
damage.
Hard to get out of that. Stunned. Hard to get out of that period of time as an adolescent and not have some sort of disorder. Honestly,
disorder.
Very difficult.
For sure.
Disordered eating.
Yeah, I feel like most people I know have struggled with something of some kind.
Getting out of that like 12-ish year period, 15-year period.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
I am done.
Wow.
I am sweating and I am done. That last Culpepper, man, that took a lot out of me. I can feel wrung out from it.
The cold sweats.
Yeah, actually.
Where he oozes into your body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I gotta sweat him out and feel that he was here. Yeah. So
he's a very cold man.
He is cold.
He likes
Yes. If we're working on his temperature scale, he is cold. And
that's why he wants to warm the liver and warm
gotta
all the
warm it all up.
All
everything seems to be drier and hotter. I don't know. I don't know any of this. I don't get it.
Gross. All right, dudes.
I'm done.
We will see you next week.
Yes.
I fully expect to be back to normal topics. So yay. Also, remember, check out all the links down in the description for today's sponsor. Also for things like our Facebook, our Facebook show is what I almost said. Should we tell them about the live situation for this coming up month?
So since Charlie was a dead person for a good chunk of this month and still kind of is, we're instead of doing our two lives in March like we usually do, we're just going to roll forward with a full-on April series. We're going to be live every April – or every April. We're going to be live every Wednesday in April at 6 p.m. CST in the private Patreon group. So you can count on us over there. Every Wednesday night at 6, we're going to be hanging out over there. That's 4 solid weeks. And kind of making up the dates and hanging out and just kind of doing a weekly thing for a little while. Seeing how it feels.
Nice and scheduled. So we hope to see you. We hope to see you there. That is starting with the first Wednesday of the month of April.
Yes. Also, Charlie and I have a date on the books this coming Monday, April 1st.
Yes.
We're getting together. We're going to get some snacks. We're going to watch some shitty fucking TV. And we're going to sign all the prints, get them all packed up. We're going to draw the raffle ticket winners and get all of that done. So coming up on Monday, everything's going to be going out. All your prints are going to be going out for you guys, as well as you raffle ticket winners. You'll be able to, we'll email you to let you select your print. And we will go from there. So anyway, that's an update on those. Everything's printed. Everything's ready to go.
I apologize on the delay on that, dudes. Sorry. That was my bad.
It's all right. We'll get them all signed.
That was my constitution's bad.
It was your constitution's bad. But they'll be rocking and rolling out. And I think that's it. I think that's it.
We love you. Yeah. Merry Christmas. Eat some stuffing. Have a good day.
Eat some stuffing.
Kisses and love. XOXO Gossip Girl.
Okay. That's, you know what?
I never watched
Gossip We've ended
Girl.
Worse. I didn't either. Well, you know what? We're rolling with confidence. Let's end it.
Yeah.
All right.
Click.